Chapter 19, The Queen's Judgment. The Lord told me about your conversation, and he sent me here to talk with you. You must be just beginning to talk about my testimony at the final judgment. They all welcomed her in and introduced themselves. Moses said, "I am so glad you are here. I have been waiting for an opportunity to speak to you since the day I first heard your testimony. And now the Lord has opened that door. Please tell us what the Lord has put on your heart." The rest of them nodded in agreement. And so the Queen of Sheba began. "To begin with, my name is Sheba. I was a queen in a distant land, and I heard about Solomon's fame and his relationship with the Lord. I traveled a great distance to test him with many hard questions. I met with King Solomon, and he answered all my questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to me. When I saw all the wisdom Solomon had, and the palace he had built, all the food on his table, the seating of his officials and his servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, I was totally overwhelmed. I said to King Solomon, 'The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half what was told to me in wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I have heard. How happy your men must be, how happy your officials, how continually they stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he made you king to maintain justice and righteousness.' So I met with Solomon, the king of Israel, when I sojourned on the earth. I traveled a great distance to meet Solomon, and I was satisfied. My Lord, the king of heaven and earth, traveled a great distance also. He traveled from his eternal throne to be a babe in the manger, from his heavenly kingdom to earth's lowest regions. My Lord traveled so much farther than I ever did, for he humbled himself of his kingly authority and became a man. As you know from the scriptures and my testimony, I was called forth as a witness at the final judgment against that generation. You may not know this, but Jesus' own words burned in my heart on that day. I could not be silent, so I echoed his words as a testimony against them. I remember saying to them, 'I traveled many, many miles to hear Solomon's wisdom and was completely satisfied from what I saw and heard. I knew that he was a man that God had blessed, and that he had a relationship with the great God of Israel, who is the God of all nations. I was very impressed with his wisdom and knowledge, and nothing was too hard for him. I received one blessing after another as he revealed many mysteries to me. No question was too hard for him. Solomon, though he was just a man, a man filled with wisdom, and his kingdom was filled with splendor. I traveled from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's great wisdom, and one greater than Solomon was there in your time. I came to Solomon, who was only a man, but God came to you, and you closed your eyes to the splendor of his coming. You closed your hearts to the words of eternal life, and you closed the door to the invitation for reconciliation. You rejected the author of life. I said to them, all of heaven watched and observed with sadness and indignation at how you treated the Son of Man, who we have always known in glory as the Lord, the King of glory. I stood before God's throne and said to them, you religious leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, you put your fingers in your ears and refused to listen to God's one and only Son. His words were upright and true, and they have finally come to fulfillment on this great day. For he said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Moses said, they said many horrible, wicked, and evil things. Their words were like arrows, and they had every intention to pierce the shepherd with the words that flowed from their mouths. The day of reckoning had finally come upon them. Sheba continued, I remembered the Pharisees' words burning in me like a fire, and those words came out of me like a flood. I have heard, all the angels in heaven have heard, all the heavenly hosts have heard, and most of all, our Heavenly Father has heard all that you have said about his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that you have said about God's one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a horrible and terrible thing you have said. What evil has latched upon your hearts. Before I could say another word, God the Father stood up and said, what you have said in the dark will now be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will now be proclaimed from the rooftops. The books are now opened, and what has been said has been recorded in the heavenly records, for every word and deed will be proclaimed now for all to hear and judge. Jonathan said, I remember seconds later that huge mist appeared out of nowhere in front of the great assembly, and every eye could see it clearly. I remember watching as an image slowly came into view upon the mist. I watched as it became clearer that it was the angel Gabriel, and he was speaking to someone who I could not see yet in the mist. Saber responded, "Yes." We all watched as Gabriel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Then the mist slowly faded and disappeared, only for another image to come forward. Every eye watched as an image of shepherds materialized in the midst. The shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Then angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and everyone could see that they were terrified. They listened to the angel. The angel of the Lord, he said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord." Jonathan said, "You know, I have seen many Christmas cards in my day with those images, but I never really stopped to consider their significance. I remember hearing Christmas music of great hymns of faith, and they had no impact on my life before I was saved. So many people were exposed to these same images. Yet it was like our eyes were closed and we were blind to the most significant event in all of history." Sheba said, "I watched as many scenes came and faded. One particular scene stands out. I remember watching the heavens open upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit descending on him in bodily form, much like a dove." Robert said, "I remember how that image seemed to freeze and the mist turned to ice and time seemed to stand still. Then everyone watched the great king stand up and say with a loud voice that penetrated every heart and shook the depths of every soul, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Moses said, "I remember how the Spirit moved among the saints. Cheers came forth from every tongue of the redeemed. But one could only hear moans, groans, and deep cries of anguish from the people before the throne." All of them knew they had rejected the Son. They feared and dreaded what they knew would come upon them. The great king sat down again, and every eye watched as the next scene unfolded. That scene showed Jesus standing in a synagogue in Nazareth. He was unrolling a scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We watched him roll up the scroll, give it back to the attendant, and sit down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Those are such beautiful words that were said. Words of freedom for the prisoners, enlightenment for the blind, and relief for the oppressed. Many times I dreamed of saying those same words, but I was afraid that the people that the Lord put in my path would not respond to them. I knew these words were the path to freedom, but I did very little with them, Jonathan added. Sheba continued. I watched as another scene appeared in the mist, and I saw Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee, then up the side of a mountain where he then sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And he laid them at his feet, and Jesus healed them all. They had so many miracles. I never realized how many Jesus did until all those scenes unfolded. Seeing the mute healed and speaking, the crippled made well and walking, the blind seeing and the dead rising were amazing, John added. Robert added, it was so beautiful to see the great mercy and compassion of our King being poured out on the helpless, the lost, the widowed, the fatherless, and the downcast. My heart was captured and my spirit delighted at the work of his hands. Moses spoke, and he said, I remember when those other scenes began unfolding, scenes of rejection and humiliation by the people of that generation. One scene in particular burned in my heart that day. When a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that he could both talk and see. I saw that all the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? I remember watching and hearing in disbelief as the Pharisee said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that he drives out demons. I also remember how the whole assembly of the saints raised their voices in protest, Robert added. That is when the Lord moved in me, and I pointed at the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the men of that generation and said, look at these men. Instead of acknowledging the miracle, the mercy that was shown to that helpless man, instead of praising God, these wicked men became furious and began to plot with one another how they might kill Jesus. Robert said, I remember when you spoke next, your voice was louder and even more convicting. It echoed throughout the whole assembly as you laid charges against them. You said, these wicked men were jealous. Consider their own words carefully. Then another scene materialized, showing a meeting of the chief priests and the elders of the people. And they said, "What are we accomplishing here? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then Caiaphas the high priest said, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." Moses added with a voice of disdain, "I remember the glee on their faces when Judas entered into their courts. They were so willing and delighted to give him money in exchange for Jesus' life. I remember watching the money exchanging hands and Judas taking the 30 pieces of silver." Sheba continued, "I watched as the next scene began to appear on the mist. I saw the fig trees, and then an olive grove appeared. And I watched as my Lord said, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.' I watched as he fell to the ground and prayed again, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will.' I watched as he prayed a second time, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.'" Robert replied, "The silence at that moment was deafening. Everyone knew what was going to happen next, and we watched as Judas arrived with a large crowd armed with swords and clubs. We all watched as Judas whispered to the guards, 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' And he walked over to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Friend, do what you came for.' I was speechless as I watched the men go over, seize Jesus, and arrest him. Then one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus said, 'Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call upon my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?' Jonathan said, 'It was surprising and amazing at that point to see 12 legions of angels, 12,000 angels flying in from every direction of the judgment hall and rushing to the Lord's side to carry out his commands, to show their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember them standing before the throne and waiting for his command. We all knew why they were there, to bind and chain that generation and carry them away into outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Sheba said, 'I stood there that day, unaware of the scenes and what would be shown. I was not worried, for the Lord's words were written on my heart. He said to me, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you." So I watched as the next scene came into view. Jesus was standing before Caiaphas, the high priest, the teachers of the law, the elders, the chief priests, and the whole Sanhedrin. They were there looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. I watched as two people came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then I watched as the high priest said, "I charge you under the oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." The scene froze, and excitement began to build up. Finally, Jesus said, "Yes, it is as you say. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Instantaneously, the heavenly host and all the redeemed cheered, and applause broke out over all the great assembly. His word came to fulfillment, for every eye saw him, even those who pierced him. They watched as the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Everyone watched. They watched the scenes unfolded before them. Every tongue was silent as they spit upon Jesus' face and struck him with their fists. And they watched as others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" Jonathan spoke up. I remember watching and hearing every hit, every slap. It was like I was there. With every slap and hit, I felt emotions deep down in my soul. I was furious, filled with sadness, filled with mixed emotions, all at the same time. I felt like turning away, but I couldn't. I hated to see him endure such pain and humiliation from sinful men, even though he did it for me. It made my heart break. Moses then said, "I believe God wanted us to feel the pain, or should I say, the effects of the blows deep in our hearts, to show us that he has an immense love for us and us for him. He was showing us that we were and are affected by everything he did for us." Robert said, "It is almost like in Romans, where it said, we were baptized with him in his death." Sheba continued, I said to the great congregation, "You have seen and heard the beating he endured. It echoed in your ears, and every strike seemed to hit your souls. Look how they treated our Lord. Look even now as another scene unfolds. Watch as they bring our Lord before the Gentiles, before Pilate. See them lay the charges against him, and see how even Pilate saw through their hypocrisy and tried to let him go." We all watched as the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas in exchange for our Lord. And they persuaded the crowd to have him executed. Everyone that day heard the crowds yell out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Remember the last words before our Lord was beaten and ridiculed? Pilate said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." And they answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then they released Barabbas to them. But they handed over our Lord, the King of Glory, to be flogged and to be crucified upon the cross. Jonathan said, "I remember at that point there was a silence for a time, and everyone waited to see what was going to happen next. Then the Lord stood up and called forth a great host of men, and they came out of nowhere." Moses replied, "Yes. Jesus said that the men of Nineveh would rise up and condemn that generation. They acknowledged that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And the men of Nineveh all said in unison, 'This generation is guilty.' For one even greater than Jonah came to you, and you did not accept his testimony and turn in repentance." Robert added, "I remember the whole assembly cried out, 'Guilty! Guilty!'" Sheba then said, "One of the final scenes was the crucifixion of the Lord. I remember as the scene began, a man came forward before the throne and faced the great assembly and began to open a weathered-looking scroll. He unrolled it before everyone and said, as the crucifixion was happening, 'Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though He had not done any violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. At the end of the passage, the man rolled up the scroll. No one had to ask who the man was, for everyone knew he was the prophet Isaiah. Sheba said to the small group, and we all know how it ended for that generation. When the final passage was read against them, but not by me.